It was 15 years ago, on December 26th, that was a typical, quiet, peaceful day in the Indian Ocean. That fateful day in 2004 was when one of the world's most deadly and the world's most dark events occurred. Do you remember what day it happened? Yes, the tsunami. It's oftentimes called the Boxer tsunami as well. But there was an earthquake, and that earthquake had an estimated magnitude of 9.1 to 9.3, almost to the 10-point level on the scale. And they estimate that the approximate energy that that earthquake generated in that ocean was the same equivalent as if at one time 23,000 Hiroshima atomic bombs went off at the same time. That's how much energy was generated in that earthquake. Well, that earthquake then struck off the coast of Sumatra of Indonesia, and from there it generated a tsunami. A tsunami that grew to heights of over 100 feet of waves that would last for a period of 8 hours, would strike over 11 countries, and would kill over 230,000 people, a quarter of a million people. It was devastating. It totally, in a matter of hours, changed millions of people's lives. And it was something that was totally, totally unexpected. And there was no way to prepare for it. I was walking the other day on my treadmill. I sometimes do that. No, I'm not going to give you a speech about the fact that you need to be doing something for the new year as far as your body or getting in shape. But I was walking on my treadmill, and what I do sometimes, and Ann and I both do, is we listen to podcasts, and I was listening to one that was a music podcast. And I was listening to songs from a singer, as you might know him, by the name of Stephen Curtis Chapman. Anybody ever hear of Stephen Curtis Chapman? I was listening to some of his albums, or one of his albums, and one of the songs while I was walking really struck me. I mean, I don't know, it was one of those times when the Lord just really implanted in my heart something about that song. And the song is entitled this, and you have a copy of it there, but what we're going to do is I'm going to play this song now. I'd rather have you look up because they've got the YouTube. We aren't going to be able to see him sing, but you're going to hear him sing. And the words of the song should be up on the screen. I'm going to ask you to really carefully think about the words of this song and the impact. It's called Take Another Step. And I'd like for you to hear that now, if you would, and pay attention to what it says.
Well, the band was playing, the flags were waving, and there you were, in the middle of a sunny day. The sky was clear, not a worry in the world. Marching on, she went steady, strong and straight. Take another step, and another step, and another step. Then the lightning flashed, the thunder crashed.
I walk about 25 minutes. My wife does far more than that. And I'm on an incline of about 3.5. She does more than that. And I'm on a speed of about 3.5, and she does more than that. And about, I think I had like 5 minutes left, and that's when this song came on. And I was huffing and puffing, and this song comes up, and ironically, he says, take another snap. But I want us to look at something today. As we think about this song, as we think about the words, you know, we're coming into another year. And in that time, we always come up to people and we express to them what? When we come up to this celebration time on in January the 1st, what do we say to them? Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Yeah, we wish people will have another Happy New Year. And I think while that is what we have come to expect as far as in our lives, we want a Happy New Year. My question for you today would be this. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if and when a tsunami comes into your life? I'm not talking about a literal 100-foot wave, but I'm talking about something that overwhelms you like that wave did. Some kind of wave comes into your life. We take another step. Father, we pray that you would open up our hearts to the words that you've given. And I pray that you would help us as we enter this new year to understand what we may need to do given circumstances that may come into our lives, and that we would be prepared to be able to do that, to take another step in our walk of faith with you. We praise you for that, Lord, and ask that you would speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think he hit it on the head. What do we do if one of those tsunamis comes into our lives? I think he, Chapman, hit it on the head. We take another step. We take another step. What do you do if you look at the text on the first part of that? It talks about the band was playing, the flags were waving, and everything's good. That's the idea that he gives you in this thing. You know, life is just really good, and things are going well. And so my question is, what do you do when you're in the middle of that sunny day parade in your life? When the cheering crowds are there, the clear sky, there's not a worry in the world in your life. You're marching on with another step and another step. It's a high step. And suddenly the rain comes. The sky turns black. You cannot see. And you are paralyzed. You are paralyzed by perhaps the news that a loved one in your family has suddenly died. Many of you have gone through that this past year. Or the doctor announces that you have cancer. Some of you have gone through that this past year. Or you are permanently laid off work with no new prospects for a replacement job. And so on and so on. You can place your own tsunami, if you will, into that arena. You're suddenly, at that time, most of us, if we're honest, we are suddenly filled with horror of unanswered questions, aren't we? And we're filled with these unexplainable circumstances that overwhelm us, and they leave us afraid, not knowing where to go or what to do. Well, I think we need to look at some things to prepare our hearts in the eventuality of that. I'm not talking about doodling, I'm talking about being prepared for what may happen this coming year in our lives. We need to take another step, and we need to trust God and take that other step. If you'll notice with me on the sheet that you have there, I'm going to go down to the third paragraph, and I'm going to read that together with you, if you will with me. He says, take another step. Take another step. When the road ahead is dark and you don't know where to go, take another step. Take another step. Trust God and take another step. And another step, and another, and another, and another, and another. First of all, when we go through those tsunamis in our lives, we have to choose to not do what? We have to be careful not to trust your feelings or your emotions when those tsunamis of life come into your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 really hits this on the head. He says, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says this, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. Then he gives you a warning. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't trust in your emotions, in your feelings, in your thinking. Because of sin, when we think about it, our own understanding can be tainted by that sinful nature. And therefore, during those times of those tsunamis, when they start to hit you, those feelings and emotions cannot always be trusted. Doesn't mean you're not going to have them, but you're not to lean on them. You don't depend upon them for your guidance and your care. Our hearts can be very deceitful, can't they? And there's times when we go through those difficult times of our trials of our life that they can't always be trusted about what is really happening. So we need to kind of step back and not lean on your own emotions and feelings. You need to step back and kind of get a regrouping. It's during those times that we must trust God. We must trust Him. As Paul says in Romans, I trust you, God, that you, in my life right now, whatever those tsunamis are, you are causing all things in my life to work together for what? For the good. Doesn't mean it's going to be good. But God, you are working in my life for the good to those that love you and those who are called according to your purposes. When we look at this and we look at this concept, Chapman says, when the road ahead is dark and you don't know where to go, take another step. Take another step. We need to take another step by, I believe, first going to the Word of God. To trust Him through His Word. To go to the Word of God. David wrote many psalms about difficult times that he was going through. And if you go to the psalms during those tsunamis, I guarantee you that they will be a springboard to encourage your heart. Because David and other writers of those psalms understood what it was like to go through the difficulties of life. They knew their heart. They knew and understood that they needed to go to God. And they found their encouragement in His Word. You need to go to the Word of God. And you need to have your eyes open. And God's Word will do that because the Word promises us, your Word is what? A lamp for my feet and a light for my path. He will guide you even in the darkest tsunamis of your life, whatever it might be. It's that Word that will guide you in truth. But we need to do is what the Proverbs from 3, 5, and 6 says further. And not only trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding, but you need to do what? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I look to you as God. I look to you as the one who's causing all things to work together. You're allowing this. And I understand that it is you that will make my path straight. And I'm trusting in your Word. I'm trusting in your Word to be able to help me to do that. God, people, has a plan for each of our lives. He has a plan for every one of us in this room for 2020. I was going to preach on something, but I changed my mind. It was the idea, somebody came up with a cool thing about you can have your eyes checked in the next year because you know they're going to be really good. Why? Because of what? 2020. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're not always necessarily assured that 2020 is going to be a good year. We know that God has a plan. We know that He has a purpose. Sometimes that plan may include trials. They do, believe it or not, have a purpose. In fact, James says this concerning those trials and what we call the tsunamis of our life. He says this, we're to consider what? And this is a hard one. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Here's the reason. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Your faith will be tested, but in the end, if you trust God, you will endure. And in that endurance, you will learn that you can continually trust God no matter what the circumstances might be in your life. Peter said this too as well. Peter said this concerning these tsunamis in our life. He says, in this you greatly, there's that word again, in this you greatly rejoice. What? You mean to tell me that if I have a trial, I'm supposed to greatly rejoice? Yes, because of the reason. Paul said, or Peter says this, even though for a little while, if necessary. If those things come into our life in 2020, whatever it might be, it's necessary. Because God is doing a work in your life. He says, you may have been distressed by various trials. Here's the reason, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is imperishable, even though tested by fire, will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What God is saying there is this, take an understanding and trust me and take another step. step forward in your walk with me. How do we do that? Well, I think we take that next step by faith. Notice what Paul says. How do we walk? We don't walk by sight, but we walk by what? By faith. Yes, we walk by faith, not by sight. Read with me, if you would, the next paragraph as we look at this song. Chapman says, we walk what? By faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians. And we know it's true. We read it and we know it's true. We say it, I walk by faith, not by sight. We sing it, and we love the way it sounds, he says. But here's the key. None of us can even begin to truly understand what it really means, what? Till the lights go out. And there we are, nothing to hold on to but the promises that God has made to me and to you. The author of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 verse 1, says this, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what's the first part of that? It's the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. In the Old Testament times, men and women had to rest what? On the promises of God. They had to rest on the fact that God had told them that there would be a coming Messiah, that there would be a deliverer who would take away the sin. We read in Sunday school this morning about the prophetic promises in Isaiah and in Psalm 22 about the fact that Jesus would someday come and that he would die on the cross, that he would die a very painful death. And it's very explicitly explained in those prophecies. Those people did not see that coming yet, but by faith they believed that God was going to send the Messiah. They didn't understand all the details, but they believed his promises. Even as vague and as unseen as they were, they believed that they were there. They only had a glimpse of what was going to happen. But yet they knew it was God's light, and they put their full trust and their hope in that. That's what faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for. It's a living hope in a living God that is so real that in your life it will give you absolute assurance even in those most difficult tsunamis in your life. Someone once said this, faith is not a wistful longing that something may come to pass in an uncertain tomorrow. He says, true faith is an absolute certainty, often of things that the world considers unreal and impossible. Jesus said this concerning that faith, blessed are they who did not see and yet what? Believed. Blessed are those who did not see it. We have not seen Jesus. We did not see his resurrection. We did not see his birth. We did not see him at all. But we believe in it. We did not see him, but we believe it by faith. And Jesus said, you're blessed. But you must come to him by faith with the assurance that he is working in your heart and your life. And then the second thing about faith is that it is what? It's the conviction of things not seen. Here's the practical application. The person of faith lives his or her life in their life, in their belief. They live it out. It's not something you just believe in your heart. You live it out. You notice what he said there, that we can never truly understand what it means till the lights go out. When the tsunami comes into your life, it's easy to say, I'm walking by faith, not by sight. But when the tsunami comes, that's when it really becomes tested. That's when it really becomes where the rubber meets the road. Think about Noah. Think about what that man went through and what he did. He truly believed God. Now, he could not have possibly started out with that far demanding and humanly what I would call ridiculous task that God had given him without absolute faith. He had to come to God by faith. Why? Well, God said there's going to be a rain that's going to flood the whole earth. Guess what? There had not really been ever a rain before. What happened? It was a mist that came upon the world. So there wasn't any real explanation of what rain was. The other thing is that Noah had never built an ark or a boat of this magnitude. If he had, it was probably a very small one. But we're led to believe that he had never even built a boat before. He had never even gone there because it never even existed. He had no idea, but he believed God, and he was convinced of things not seen, including what? When God said he was going to flood the earth, he believed it. He believed that there was a judgment coming, and he took another step. He started to build even when he couldn't see what was going to happen. I think this year too, as we apply this in our lives in a practical way, we can step out by faith, and we need to, and do what God will and may call us to do, and go through what God may or will bring into our lives. Faith then will produce a firm ground on which you and I can stand this coming year, waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. Chapman makes this statement. He says, very powerfully, there is nothing to hold on to but what? During those times of the tsunami, when you're trying to figure out what it's all about and you have no answers, there's nothing to hold on to but the promises that God made to you and to me. During those times, go back to the promises of God. See what he says that you can hang on to. Take another step in the promises of God. One of the things that really impresses me when I'm going through something like this is what God says in Hebrews. He says this, I will never what? Leave you. Not only that, but I won't forsake you. I will be with you no matter what you're going through. Hang your hat on that. Whatever your trial might be for this coming year, hang your hat on this. God is not going to leave you. You are his child. You have been born again. You are part of his family. He is your heavenly father. Now, can we fail him? Yes, we can. Will we sin? Yes. Does it sometimes feel like God really isn't there? Yes, it does. Even in the midst of those tsunami trials that may come into your life, you think, where are you, God? I don't hear you. But believe this by faith that he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you, even though sometimes it may feel like it. God also promises, as we read earlier, I read to you from Psalm 27 about having a fearless trust in God. And I want to quote this part, verses 5 and 6 from Psalm 27. In the day of trouble, here's a promise. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies and my circumstances that are around me. God does not necessarily promise that he's going to take you out of that tsunami or out of that trial or our difficult circumstances, but he promises that he's going to lift you up in your spirit above what you're going through. He will lift you up even in the midst of that, and he will refresh your spirit. He'll refresh your soul. In my presence, remember he promises never to leave you or forsake you. In my presence is the fullness of joy. What? That's how I can come to that trial, as James and Peter said, and consider it all joy, because I know that God is going before me. And I know that he's never going to leave me, no matter what the circumstances. He promises to lift us up in victory. Then we need to take another step with this. We need to take another step with our eyes, what? Fixed on Jesus. Read number 4 with me. Well, I'm calling it number 4. It begins here at the very bottom of the first page. He says this, if there's an ocean in front of you, you know what you've got to do. You take another step. And another step. Maybe he'll turn the water into land, and maybe he'll take your hand and say, let's take a walk on the waves. Will you trust me either way and take another step? Take another step. I believe Peter, when he wrote that about the trials, that they're to prove our faith, he found that out from experience. How do I say that? Well, there were many times in Peter's life when he did go through difficulties. But he knew that in order to prove our faith, God would have to take us through trials. On one occasion, in Matthew, we see Peter's faith tested. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. We see Peter's faith tested, but we see something that really is really kind of remarkable that takes place here in this situation. And it's also an example for us that we need to understand about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. On Matthew chapter 14, we're going to be reading the beginning of verse 25 through 31. We see Peter's faith tested. He had sent the disciples ahead, and after he sent them away, he went to the mountain to pray, and it was evening, and he was there alone. And the disciples were out there in the Sea of Galilee, and they're floating around, and all of a sudden, it said that the verse 24, that the boat was battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he, being Jesus, came to them. What was he doing? He's walking on the sea. He's walking on top of the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they're frightened. They're saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. God wants you to take courage when you're going through the storms of life. And he tells you this, don't be afraid. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Paul says, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. So Peter then sees this, and Peter answers him, impetuous Peter. He says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said one thing simply, come. Peter's request was, command for me to come to you where? Not in the water, but what? On the water. I want to be just like you. I want to walk on the water. Jesus says, come on. Come on out here, Peter. Peter got out of the boat, and what did he begin to do? He walked on the water. And he came toward Jesus. There he is. He's walking. He's taking another step and another step on top of the water, just like Jesus. But I love it when the scriptures put in the but. There's something going to happen. But seeing the wind, isn't that an interesting phrase, seeing the wind? He didn't really see the wind, but he saw the effects of it. He saw these massive waves. He began to become afraid, and he began to sink. The more he's looking at the waves, the more he's sinking. And he cries out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus did what? He stretched out his hand, and he took hold of him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you certainly are the Son of God. Jesus had told Peter to come to him, which he did. He did okay at first, just like we do sometimes. I'm doing okay, Lord. I'm going through a difficult time, but I'm okay. But then he did what? He took his eyes off of Jesus. It's a direct correlation to what happened to him in his life. And it's a direct correlation to what can happen to us in our lives. We know the rest of the story. You see, Peter's problem was this. He took his eyes off Jesus and did what? He focused on the storm and the waves around him. There is a tendency on our part, I think, to do the same. When those tsunamis of our life and those trials of our life come in and overwhelm us, we tend to do what? Here's some things that happen to us. Think about this. We become focused on what? The problem. We become focused on the problem and the difficulties that arrive, and eventually we allow, notice that, we allow this to happen. We choose for this to happen. What is that? We choose for that to bring us to the point of anxiety, of fear, and maybe even to the point of despair. But we cannot allow ourselves to do what? To be frozen in that place. But we need to take another step and run with endurance the race, what? That is set before us. Doing this, fixing your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. Who, the writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have an example of what Jesus did for you when he went to the cross. He endured. He persevered. He took another step. He took another step to the cross. He took another step and he died for you with the sins of the world upon him. He took another step and he was trusting God when he died that he would raise him on the third day, which he did. We need to be willing to trust God for that too. In closing, I want you to understand this. David in Psalm 27 that we read earlier makes this closing statement. He said, I would have despaired. I would have given up unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We don't understand what 2020 holds. We don't know. We're going to look at each one of us in this room that are here today, and you're hearing this message. Some of us may go through some extremely difficult times. The tsunami may come into your life. That overwhelming wave or whatever it might be may come into your life. And it's at that point that your faith will be tested. It's at that point that you have to make a choice and a decision. What am I going to do? Well, we don't have to despair. Instead, we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus during those storms of our life. Stephen Chapman's closing advice is good for all of us to heed throughout the year, whatever might occur in our lives in that coming year, in 2020. Here's what he said. No matter what the challenges might be, here's what we need to do. We need to trust God and take another step. Take another step, take another step. I'd encourage you to go back and look up Chapman's song and listen to it, because it's an encouraging song. Take another step, take another step. And whatever circumstances God might allow to come into your life this year, please go to him and say, Lord, I want to take another step. I want to trust you with my life. And I'm going to depend upon you to be there with me, no matter what. Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you for the promises. Thank you for Stephen Curtis Chapman and for his wonderful statement of trusting you by faith and taking another step. Even when it's hard to be able to move our foot forward, we need to trust you and take another step of faith, trusting in you that you cause all things to work together for good in our lives. And we praise you for that now. And may that be a flagstaff of our year as we come into that year of 2020. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, and this is our...